Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the ministry of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. You know, the major assignment of the Spirit of God is to reveal Jesus. Many times people want to develop a spooky relationship with the Spirit of God. You want to enjoy the Spirit of God by developing some funny, you know, out of the Bible kind of relationship. But the first thing to know about the Holy Ghost is that the Holy Ghost was given to reveal Jesus, so that the man that would enjoy the ministry of the Holy Ghost is the man that is paying attention to the revelation of Christ in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Let me quickly show you something in John chapter 16. John 16, John 14, John 16. We should see both places. The Holy Ghost does not come to bear witness to himself, but to the person and the work of Christ Jesus. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. John, let's start from 14. John 14. Hallelujah. John 14. I'll read from verse 15. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So you see what he calls him? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. So he's called the Spirit of truth because he has a revelation. Verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," he will send him in my name, "he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I had said to you." So you see that the ministry of the Holy Ghost is to show Jesus, is to reveal something. He has a revelation. John 16, hallelujah, verse 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot receive them." You cannot bear them now. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." When Jesus says the Holy Ghost will take of what is mine and reveal it to you, you know what he was talking about? He was referring to his inheritance. That's why he says all that the Father has are mine. The inheritance of the Son. What Jesus has is his position, his possession in the Father. So he says the Holy Ghost will take of that and reveal it to you. So that means the Holy Ghost will communicate to us. He will reveal to us the things we have in our joint relationship, in our co-partnership with Christ Jesus. The things we have come to share in our fellowship with the Son. 1 Corinthians 1:9, Bible says, "God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son." Fellowship speaks of a state of sharing. We have come to share the same life of the Son of God. The same essence. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 to 17. Let me quote from verse 15. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So he says, we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So there are things we have in common with Jesus. There are things we've come to co-possess. There are things we've come to share. Hallelujah. We've come to share in the inheritance of the Son as joint heirs. The word joint heir actually means co-possessors. Hallelujah. So these are the things that Jesus is referring to here at John 16 verse 14. "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." He's going to communicate to you the blessedness of your inheritance in Christ. Hallelujah. All things that the Father has are mine. The things that belong to the Father. The things we've come to inherit in the Son. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Let me show you one more scripture before I move on into today's teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the ministry of the Spirit. Thank God for the work of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. I'll just read from verse 12. One of my one of my very regular or favorite scriptures in quotes. Favorite scriptures back in the day when I first met the Word, a very favorite scripture of mine, everywhere I was quoting it. Hallelujah. Because the light of that scripture just dawned on me. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So you see that the ministry of the Holy Ghost is to reveal to us the things that have been freely given to us by Christ. The things we have received in Christ Jesus, a revelation of the same. That's the beginning of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You want to enjoy the ministry of the Spirit? Start paying attention to His revelation of Christ. Now, this revelation is not something you get by praying and fasting and waiting on the mountain or hanging on a tree, trying to, you know, hear the Spirit just speak to you out of the blues. The Holy Ghost has communicated these things via the ministry of the apostles. That's why if you read the earlier verses of this chapter, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor hear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Now some will read this particular verse of the Bible and stop there and begin to pray. Father, show me the things you have prepared. Oh God, you are missing the point. When you read a verse like this, this is not a time to close your eyes and start praying. It's a time to open your eyes and read the next verse. Hallelujah. You have to open your eyes widely and read the next verse, because the next verse tells you how these things are received. Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Hallelujah. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So this is the very essence of the ministry of the apostles. The Holy Ghost, by the ministry of Christ, was able to communicate these facts and these realities to the apostles. The Holy Ghost in the ministry of the apostles has been able to communicate these truths to us today. So when we read the letters of the apostles, we are reading the revelation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And the crux of this revelation, like we've been saying since the beginning of this broadcast or podcast, is that it's about Jesus and what He has done. Hallelujah. Yet again, we can see it, that it's about the things we have freely received in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, in the last episode, we began to see that this is what they called the Word in the book of Acts. This is what they called the Word in the epistles. This is what they called the Word in the early church. Nobody was said to be a preacher of God's Word if it was not preaching the essence of Jesus' death and resurrection. That's the Word of God. Not everything that sounds good. Not motivational speeches, not philosophies of men, not moral codes and traditions of men, not human wisdom, not everything that is able to wow us or daze us, not words on the marble, hallelujah. But the truth about Jesus' death and resurrection, and the freedom and liberty and the salvation that comes to men that believe in the same. That's what they refer to as the Word. Hallelujah. So let's continue to see. Look at Acts 15, verse 7. Today we are going to see some of these places also where the word is used, or the phrase the word is used in the epistles. You see that it's about the gospel. Acts 15. In fact, let me quickly say this. In the book of the Acts of Apostles, there were fewer places or instances where the word gospel was used. Just 6 places. The word gospel appears in just 6 places that I've seen so far. Acts of Apostles 8:25, Acts of Apostles 14:7, Acts of Apostles 14:21, Acts of Apostles 15:7, Acts of Apostles 16:10, Acts of Apostles 20:24. Those are the places you find the word gospel appear in the book of Acts of Apostles. You may like to go verify this in the Bible. Just 6 places in the book of Acts of Apostles. But then you find a more prominent phrase is the word. Why? Because that was what they referred to as the gospel. The word. So while they used the word gospel in just 6 places in all the book of Acts, the more prominent phrase was the word. Hallelujah. The word. Because the word is just another name for the gospel. Amen. So you couldn't have been said to be preaching the word of God if you were not preaching the gospel of Christ. So at Acts 15, verse 7, look at this now. Acts 15:7. Glory be to God. Bible says, and when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Have you seen? That's one of the places the word gospel was used. So he calls it the word of the gospel and believe. Hallelujah. Acts 17:13. So he defines it. It's the word of the gospel. Acts 17:13. Bible says, "But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds." What was the word of God that Paul was teaching? Look at from verse 1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was," note that phrase, "as his custom was," that is, that was his tradition, that was the normal thing, that was what he was doing usually, "went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures." What was he doing from the scriptures? What was he reasoning out from the scriptures? Verse 3, "explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Hallelujah. That's the same thing Paul was teaching at Thessalonica. And then when he got to Berea, it was the same thing. That's what they refer to as the word that Paul was preaching at Berea. The same gospel. Hallelujah. Now look at Romans 10. Verse 17. Romans 10:17. The word is the gospel. Romans 10:17. This is one of the most abused scriptures in the body of Christ today. People just use it anyhow, out of context. Romans 10:17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When Paul said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, he wasn't saying that anything we just preach from scriptures is able to bear faith. He's not saying that if a man needs faith, let him just go and listen to a sermon. He's not teaching also that faith comes in bits and pieces, or in bits, in measures. So, as I listen to God's word today, a little faith drops. I listen to God's word again, another faith drops, and then faith is adding up as layers. No, that's not what he was saying. Hallelujah. So, the word that bears faith is explained in the context of Romans 10. From verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So, definitely, it's about the gospel that announces righteousness as a gift, as opposed to working for righteousness, which the law of Moses preaches. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. He now begins to make a distinction. "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man that does those things shall live by them." Verse 6. "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this wise. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss?" "Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." That is the word of the gospel which is taught, which is preached. "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." You see that up until this point, he's talking about the gospel. How that the man that believes in the gospel is justified, is called the righteous man on the basis of his faith, as opposed to the works of the law. Verse 12, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everything he's been discussing from verse 1 is about salvation by faith in the gospel. Hallelujah. Salvation by faith in the gospel. So when he says faith comes by hearing, which faith? Faith for salvation. Comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The faith that makes us children of God comes by proclaiming the gospel. So he gets to verse 14. "How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" Hallelujah. Listen. It says, "How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard?" That is, there's a particular thing a man should hear before faith will come. Hallelujah. Many times people will say, there are folks who don't believe in the gospel, but they believe God for healing. Aren't they believers too? Not true. A man cannot be called a believer because he believes God can heal. You can't even be called a believer just because you believe that there is God. Hallelujah. Right now, the only basis for being called a believer is by believing in the facts of Jesus' death and resurrection. Praise God. Now, you notice that when Jesus was around on the face of the earth, many of the people who came to receive healing in his ministry could not claim to have faith. They were actually relying on Jesus' faith. Praise God. That's why Jesus will ask a man, will say to a man, all things are possible if you believe. The man would say, oh, I believe, help my unbelief, aka I don't believe that I can do it, but I believe God can use you. You see, it's a different thing entirely. Hallelujah. It's a different thing entirely. Faith in Christ today is not us trusting that somebody else can do something on our behalf. It's us knowing that we have what it takes to do the very works of Jesus. These very same things that Jesus did, we can also replicate. Why? Because we now have the same faith. Praise God. That's different from, you know, that's different from saying, I don't have faith. Man, I can't believe God for a miracle, but when I consult a man of God in the north or in the east or in the west or in the south, I trust that God can use that man for me. But for me, I'm not sure if I can really pray. That's not the idea of faith in the New Testament. Hallelujah. So a man can believe God for healing, believe God to receive. Believing to receive healing and receive any other miracle does not make you a believer. Hallelujah. Men are called believers in the New Testament because they admit and believe the fact of Jesus' death and resurrection, which is the core of what Paul is discussing in Romans 10. There's a particular thing to believe. Now look at verse 15. And how shall they preach? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. There's a particular thing that they are preaching. It's called the gospel of peace. Who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our reports? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what is this word of God? The gospel. That it took his time to explain from verse 1. The gospel of Christ. That's the word. Hallelujah. That's the word. So even in the epistle of Paul, the apostle, Romans 10, 17, for instance, the phrase, the word, is about the gospel. Praise God. So the word is not just about anything that you hear, anything anybody says under inspiration. No, it's the gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 2, 17. 2 Corinthians 2, 17. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. We are not as many peddling the word of God. What is this word of God? If you read from verse 14, it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. The knowledge of Christ. Verse 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life, and we are sufficient for these things. You see that what he refers to as the word of God in verse 17 is the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Knowledge of Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. In fact, from verse 12, he says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. That's when he now gets to verse 14 and it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. That which he went to Troas to preach, which is Christ's gospel, God keeps diffusing it in every place that we go. So from trials to Macedonia to wherever, the word of God that Paul was heralding is the gospel. Hallelujah. It's the gospel. You must be convinced about this. We're not just walking through scriptures, you know, for showing that we are scholastic. No, we must be persuaded from the Bible that the word of God, when we say the word, we are referring to a singular thing, which is the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says we are not handling God's word deceitfully. What is this word of God? Verse 3, but even if our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves as born servants for Jesus' sake. Have you seen? The gospel, the word of God, we are not handling deceitfully, is the gospel of Christ. And if this gospel is hidden, it is hidden not because we are not preaching. It is hidden because the God of this world has blinded the hearts of men from seeing the light of the gospel. Hallelujah. Verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ. Someone says, okay, so you mean that as a church, it is just about Jesus. Yes, it's all about Jesus. Praise God. See, most times when people say, so are you saying it should just be Christ and Him crucified? Christ and Him crucified. You just be wondering what they mean. Ah, who should it be about? It's about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bond servants for Jesus' sake. It has to be about Jesus. He's the one that died. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that rose again on the third day. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus alone. Imagine how the Bible refers to Jesus as the Word of God. Hallelujah. I mean, it is so about Jesus, the Bible calls Jesus the Word of God. You can't be said to be preaching the Word of God unless you are preaching Christ. John 1:1, John chapter 1 verse 1. It's all about Jesus. It's amazing. We sing it in songs. We sing it in songs. And then we wait to preach Him only on Easter days. We sing Him in songs. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You are everything. We sing only in songs. And then we wait on Easter days to talk about Jesus. Walk into any church on Easter Sunday, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at the presentation. Of course, a few men here and there will still be saying funny things. But then, most places that you walk into on Easter Sundays would hit the nail on the head where Jesus' death and resurrection is concerned. I mean, you walk into places and you hear that Jesus died for our sins. And because Jesus died, we are forgiven. Because Jesus died, you'll be shocked. Guess what? The next Sunday, they move on to other things. They move on to deeper matters. Hallelujah. They move on to other things. Jesus barely gets attention in His church beyond 30 minutes. Easter Sunday, every year. The apostles taught and preached Christ all year round till they were all persecuted and killed, except John, the beloved. And even John was left on the island of Patmos, still bearing witness to the testimony of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. They talked about Jesus everywhere. They preached in the name of Jesus everywhere. They had to warn them to not teach again in His name because they were teaching in His name. If the government were to fight the Nigerian church today, would they have enough evidence to persecute us for preaching Christ? Hallelujah. Some pastors get into trouble with the government because they are fighting the government on government policies. That was not the reason why the apostles were persecuted. It was not because Paul was challenging Caesar. Jesus was not crucified because of the same. They were persecuted because of their message. Jesus' death is resurrection. Hallelujah. What He did, that's what the devil is fighting. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. See, a million good and fine policies can be made in this world today. We advocate good policies and the government of the land is making all these policies and they are favorable for all citizens. The devil is not moved because policies do not threaten the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. They only serve to afford us a better living on the face of the earth where material things are concerned, where earthly temporal things are concerned. The only thing that threatens and shakes the stronghold of hell and threatens and shakes and disturbs the kingdom of darkness is the gospel of Christ. Glory be to God. That's why the Bible says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Because that's the only thing that unsettles the devil. And that was the only reason why the apostles were persecuted and they were planning to stop them. That was Satan at work, moving the world against the church because of the message. Do you think that the government of the land today would have enough evidence to persecute us for preaching in Jesus' name? The Jesus we rarely mention. The Jesus that is more prominent in our prayers than is prominent in our sermons. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So many times, a pastor is persecuted by the government because he's interfering with government matters. As a citizen, you are doing that not as a pastor. Nobody has called anybody into an office to be mediating or to be meddling into affairs of the state in the name of Jesus. No. You can do that as a citizen. But when it comes to the office of a preacher, the preacher of the gospel must focus on the gospel. Hallelujah. We must preach the gospel. So, how did I get here? That we most times sing it in songs that it's all about Jesus. Jesus is enough. Joe, take the whole world and give me Jesus. We sing about these things. But we when it comes to sermons, teachings, people will start asking you, so is it Jesus we'll now be talking about all year round? Is it now Jesus? Is it now? I thought you said he's inexhaustible. I thought you said he's immeasurable. I thought you said he's more than enough. I thought you said that Jesus cannot be exhausted. I thought you said that Jesus is too much. His love is excess love. I thought you said, if it's this excess indeed, that means we cannot exhaust it. That means if we preach about Jesus from now till December and then we start again in January till December and we keep like that, we keep going like that in cycles every year, we'll still not be able to exhaust the magnitude of what Jesus has done. The manifold grace of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the depth of his love, the height, the breadth, the length, the depth of his love and his mercy has shown us in Christ. Hallelujah. The love of God. So let us trust that Jesus is enough as the gospel to satisfy our curiosity. Let's trust that Jesus is enough as the gospel of God. Jesus is enough as God's final answer to humanity's outcry. Let's trust that Jesus is enough as God's final answer to satisfy us in every way. Hallelujah. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. He's the word of God. John 1:1. John chapter 1 verse 1. Look at the context in which Jesus is called the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, in the context of the fact that Jesus would give life to every man. By his sacrifice, by his mission, by his death, by his work, his assignment. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Hallelujah. To every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many, hallelujah, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The word has a mission. The word has an assignment to bring many sons to glory, to impart the very life of God into men, to give light to every man that is in darkness, to bring illumination, to give light to every man that is in ignorance, to every man that is in darkness. Hallelujah. That's the mission of Christ as the Word. This is why Jesus is called the Word of God, because by him, the man that believes becomes a child of God. By him, the man that believes finds the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is the Word. Him alone is the Word. That's his description. Is the Word of God. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So you see that Jesus is called the Word in the context of the work of salvation. Is the Word. Is the Word in the context of salvation. And that's the gospel. So it is no gospel unless it centers around Jesus and his work. Hallelujah. It can't be called the Word of God if it is not presenting Christ to men. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let's quickly run. Look at Colossians 1, 25 to 28. Colossians 1, 25 to 28. Glory be to Jesus. See how the Word has been used so far, even in the epistles. Colossians 1, 25 to 28. Bible says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. What is that word of God? Verse 25. Verse 26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of this glory, riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the word of God given to Paul. Verse 28. Him we preach. You see, the person, our preaching is about a hymn. Hallelujah. It is not just about many things. It's not about ideologies. It's not about philosophies. It's not just scattered around about many things in this life. No, it is centered around a person. Him we preach. Him we preach. Him we preach. Him we preach. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Him we preach. Now when he says warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, don't think he's talking about the wisdom of this world. That's why chapter 2, look at this. Chapter 2 from verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the wisdom we are warning people with and teaching everybody in is not wisdom found outside Jesus, because in Christ are hidden all the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Have you seen? So that nobody would deceive you with philosophy, with vain words. Because not all wisdom is the wisdom of God. There's wisdom exclusive to Christ. There's wisdom that is housed and embodied by Christ. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Verse 8. See the warning. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Why? Verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. There is nothing you are looking for that is to be found outside Christ when it comes to the faith, the Christian faith. There is no wisdom you are looking for that is to be found and desired outside Christ. He says, because Jesus is the one who houses the completeness and the fullness of the Godhead. And you also are complete in him. So you have to keep looking into this completeness. Hallelujah. This completeness, and this is the gospel. It's all about him. It's about Jesus. Look at Colossians 4, verse 3 to 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. The Bible says, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word. A door for the word. What's this word? To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. The word of God, the mystery of Christ. Hallelujah. The work of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. 2 Timothy 2, 8 to 9. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, 8 to 9. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not changed. What is not changed? The word of God is not changed. What is the word of God that is not changed? He says, remember, Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's the word of God. Christ Jesus raised from the dead. That's the word of God. Titus 1, 1 to 3. Titus 1, 1 to 3. Glory to God. Glory to God. Titus 1, 1 to 3. Paul, a bond servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which are caught with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the time began, but as in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. He has manifested his word. Which word? The promise of God before time began. Hallelujah. Which is the hope of eternal life. Verse 2. That is the word he has now made manifest through preaching. The word of eternal life. The promise of eternal life. It's the gospel. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We have to finish this today. The word in the early church. What were they referring to as the word? We must finish this today and make sure you listen to all the episodes so far. They are all under the introduction. We've been doing an introduction from the first day, laying proper foundation of what the gospel is, laying proper foundation of what is called the gospel in the Bible, what is called the word of God, so that in the subsequent teachings, you know what to expect. Hallelujah. You are not waiting for us to be cooking up things that are esoteric or mystical. We are going to be staying with the facts of Jesus' death and resurrection, exploring it in its length, in its breadth and depth and height, because that is the gospel. Hallelujah. We are not going to get in through Genesis and get out from Revelation. Praise God. You know, some people's revelations are beyond the book. Someone says, what I'm teaching you now is beyond the book. Please, 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 don't tell us. You must tell us things within the confines of this book. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The scriptures. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. Glory be to God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Bible says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is living and powerful. God's word is quick and active. Now, what is this word of God? The whole chapter 4 of Hebrews, of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 4, Hebrews 3, was discussing the rest of God, which is salvation. So, if you read from verse 1 of Hebrews 4, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So, the gospel is what he was discussing. And then at verse 12, he says, this word of God, this gospel is living and powerful. Hallelujah. It's living and powerful. Glory be to God. So, it's still about the gospel of Christ. 1 Peter 1, 23 to 25. This is where we're going to stop today. God's word. God's word. When you hear the phrase, the word, the word, the word, in Bible days, it's about the gospel of Christ. It's about what Jesus did for you and I. It's about Jesus' death and resurrection. We cannot overemphasize this. This is the gospel. This is the word. 1 Peter 1, 23 to 25. Glory be to Jesus. Bible says in verse 23, 1 Peter 1, 23 to 25, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. The word of God that lives and abides forever. You see that we were born again by the word of God. That couldn't have been any kind of sermon. It has to be about Jesus' death and resurrection. Because that is the only message that has the potency to save. So this is the word by which we have been born again. He now says, all flesh, look at verse 24, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord that endures forever is the gospel. It's the gospel, which is also a person, Christ. Look at verse 25. The word of God endures forever. Now pay attention. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Have you seen? The word of God that lives and abides forever is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. So in the mind of God, there are no two meanings to the phrase the word. There are no two meanings. It's just a singular thing. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So from today henceforth, let this guide you in how you receive. When a man says he's preaching God's word and the revelation of Jesus is missing, then you should know that this is not the word of God. Hallelujah. No matter how eloquent, no matter how smart the presentation is, no matter how appealing, no matter how, there's a lot of wow effects in his delivery, if the content and the essence of Jesus' death and resurrection is missing, it is not the gospel. Glory be to God.